Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Assessment Perspectives podcast. I am Eric Montenegro with the National Institute for Learning Outcomes Assessment, or NILOA for short, and I'm very excited to welcome you to our very first episode. This podcast is another way that NILOA hopes to bring you insights into the world of assessment. Here, we will highlight various things, from useful practice to think tanking innovations. We even hope to look back at career trajectories of folks that have impacted the field of assessment and then dive into some of their personal experiences. We see this podcast as being another way to supplement the great work NILOA does. As part of our mission, we strive to continue to find different ways to reach and deliver resources to you, and we hope that you find these conversations useful. These episodes will vary in length, in scope, and they may be irregularly broadcast, but we hope that the quality and content remains the same. If you have feedback or ideas for future guests, please email us at niloa@education.illinois.edu. That is niloa@education.illinois.edu. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy our very first episode. We are joined today by a very promising graduate student who is very much involved in the world of assessment, Christina Ouellette. Christina is a full-time student at Bridgewater State University and is the graduate assistant in the Office of Assessment at BSU. Christina is currently pursuing her master's degree in physical education, and she hopes to use her newly found passion for assessment to eventually teach as a professor after gaining more experience in the field. She is also leading Bridgewater State's Transparency Project, and I do mean leading it in the fullest sense of the word, and BSU's Transparency Project will be the focus of our talk today. Christina, you truly are doing some excellent work, so congratulations to you, so please keep it up.
Thank you, Eric, and thank you for having me today.
Yeah, we're very happy to have you, and we're very happy to have your voice as the first one we get to hear in this podcast series. As both a current student and someone that's not too far removed from the undergraduate experience, and you are fully immersed in assessment, I think you have a very unique perspective to add to assessment conversations. To start off, could you tell us a little bit about Bridgewater State University's Transparency Project?
Sure. So the Bridgewater State University Transparency Project was created by the Office of Assessment with the purpose of being led by the graduate assistant. So the Transparency Project's current goal is to make all of BSU's program learning outcomes easily visible and understandable to current and prospective faculty, students, basically anyone, so external or internal, anyone that could possibly stumble upon these learning outcomes, that is the current goal. Essentially, the Transparency Project has been created in three different phases, the first focusing mainly on visibility. So it was just kind of about getting the learning outcomes visible on the BSU Office of Assessment intranet page, since the learning outcomes were only in program documents at that time. So after the learning outcomes were put out into the world for anyone and everyone to see, and once they were accessible, the next step was to build campus strategies on how to raise transparency. And those were broken up by role, like for example, strategies were developed on how faculty could increase transparency, how our president could potentially increase transparency, and even how students themselves could increase the transparency of program learning outcomes as well. So for this portion of the project, it really was important to understand that everyone has a role in making learning outcomes transparent, and it doesn't just fall on one individual or on one office. The third phase of this, which has been my work, has focused on really building a campus model or building a framework of transparency. So I've been very fortunate to be able to present the different stages of my research to various audiences and use that feedback that I've received from each to kind of further build the model that I've been developing. It really started off as kind of informal conversations with deans and faculty and staff. And then from there, I started a more formalized approach, conducting semi-structured interviews, mainly with deans. I also got the chance to present my ideas both internally at BSU to various department meetings and to various audiences here, as well as externally at the Higher Education Assessment Conference in New England College last May, and also just recently at the NECHI annual meeting, which is New England's regional accreditation body. So, as I said, gathering these perspectives and feedback from these various audiences has really helped me develop and shape the project, kind of what it is now. And kind of what I hope it to be in the future as well.
So, yeah, no, that sounds great. I mean, it's perfect that it's being done in a way that can actually be scaffolded, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just about making the outcomes visible. It's not just about making sure they're on the website, but also that folks know how they can actually contribute to this work, how their role fits in to the larger spectrum of this work.
Exactly. So that's really kind of been the goal so far. So the model that I've been developing from the research places transparency on sort of a continuum or a pyramid, with visibility being at the very foundation and then saturation being at the highest level. Now, what I mean when I say saturation is how much exposure the student is receiving to these learning outcomes. So how many times the learning outcomes are being introduced to the student, how many times they're being explained, how many times they're being connected to their coursework and their future career goals, and just how many times they appear in course syllabi and discussed during academic advising meetings and all of these things. And the goal really is to saturate the student with these outcomes, because that is what I believe complete transparency is. With that said, I do think there are steps that needed to be taken before that can occur, like making the program learning outcomes as visible as they possibly can be, but also clear and understandable to the student. And that has been the real focus of this project for me, is just advocating for visible and understandable program learning outcomes so we can take more steps towards that saturation point.
Yeah, I think that's very important work. I think that's a very important distinction in and of itself as well. I think if more people can make that realization where this work ultimately needs to be, that it's not just about making sure that they're posted somewhere or that people are aware of them, right? But that they can actually truly understand them, apply them to what that means in their own context, take it to then be able to explain what they know, what they can do, what they have learned, the skills they possess in, let's say, like a job interview or something like that, right? Then it becomes much more meaningful, much more impactful.
Exactly. And that's been my goal, to kind of connect it to beyond. It's not just a requirement for a college to have, but it really is a tool that can be used for students, by students, all this great stuff to connect beyond just college or university.
So did you find that students weren't making these connections, or why do you think that this greater clarity in learning outcomes was needed in the first place? What realizations made you or your peers at Bridgewater State kind of get this work started?
So I graduated with my bachelor's degree in physical education without knowing that my program had learning outcomes whatsoever. That's not a judgment on my school whatsoever, but it's kind of there to explain when I got put in the position to know what assessment is and to be in the assessment office, to realize there really was sort of a problem or some barriers that prevented students from being able to know and use the tool of program learning outcomes for their success. So if the learning outcomes are going to be used as a tool by students for their own success, they first need to be clear, understandable, and accessible. And when I started my work in the Office of Assessment, I kept thinking, well, why isn't complete transparency already a thing? Like, why isn't it just automatic? Why isn't it easy? And that's when I really started my research into what was preventing transparency from just being automatic.
Mm-hmm. So now you mentioned that folks have a role in this, right? It's not just one person. It has to be a continuum. Everyone involved in the university institution needs to play a role. So how do we get there? What advice do you have, or what have you found that folks in specific positions at the university can do to make this a possibility?
So I think everybody has a role in this. For example, the dean can develop college expectations and policy for transparency and make the program learning outcomes publicly available. Department chairs, faculty, students, everybody has a place, has a role that they can help increase transparency. Faculty are the direct connection, I believe, to students. They're the ones who see them every day in the classroom. They're the ones who communicate most to students. So I believe that faculty have a big role in this. And just steps like connecting program learning outcomes to life beyond the classroom, in the classroom, to putting them on course syllabi and all this stuff, just to get students to that saturation point. Because the more times a student is exposed to something, the more likely it is to stick. I remember being a first year student and just having so much new information just kind of thrown at you, for lack of a better word, and just kind of again and again, all this information that if program learning outcomes were introduced once, I don't think they would stick. So I think the real reason of this saturation is to get it exposed to the student, get it into the student's brain as much as they can. Deans can help by supporting faculty, and just everyone has a role.
So not make it top down, you expect someone else to take it, but really make it collaborative, right?
Exactly, yes. Everyone does need to kind of come together in order for this to work.
Gotcha. So what barriers do you think may exist either currently or in the future that you may foresee or have encountered that kind of stop folks from taking that initiative, from engaging in that collaborative process?
So a major barrier that I've discovered kind of pertains to a false pretense that students don't care about what the program learning outcomes are. I think students who don't know they have program learning outcomes won't know that they ought to care about them, but I can sit here and I can tell you that once I figured out like kind of what program learning outcomes are and how useful they would be to my learning, I care. And I want them as transparent as possible, because if there's a tool out there that'll help me conceptualize and connect my program to my future beyond the classroom, I want to know about it. Another barrier that I discovered has to do with academic freedom had by professors and instructors. So a lot of the times when I say this one during presentations, I often see a lot of people like tense up. so that's when I step in and I clarify that I'm not suggesting that this go away or anything by any means, but it is important to understand it is a barrier to transparency because it prevents the obvious solution of making it mandatory to incorporate program learning outcomes into syllabi and into class discussions and such like that. So on my campus, at least, there is a lack of campus-wide guidelines or procedures pertaining to program learning outcomes in general. So simply put, that can be a barrier to transparency. Other barriers that may exist include negative faculty perceptions about assessment. So just in general, if a faculty has a negative perception of assessment, they're less likely to kind of want to dive in and help reach that saturation point. And I've also found that assessment jargon can be a barrier to transparency as well. So if we count how many times I've used the term program learning outcomes already during this conversation, it would be clear that the term is known and it is used in the assessment world. But I know that when I was an undergraduate student and I heard those terms being used, like if I was walking by, I wouldn't really have any idea what the conversation was about. So I think breaking down the language and avoiding words that can feel like assessment terms, especially when talking to students, can be an easy and straightforward barrier to overcome. For example, instead of saying, do you know what your program learning outcomes are? Someone could say, do you know what you'll be expected to be able to do by the time you graduate? I feel like just kind of breaking that language barrier can help further allow understanding.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah, and as to the solutions to all these barriers, I think it's going to vary from university to university, but I think it really needs to be a campus-wide collaboration from students to faculty to administrators and potentially even to beyond campus, to employers and other external stakeholders who can see the value in using the outcomes and assessment to assess the skills students are going to have going into the workforce and they will have upon graduation. So I think if there's enough people advocating for high transparency, it can become very possible very quickly. But when it's just one or a few people trying to advocate for it, it can be a little bit more of a struggle.
Yeah, so I think all of these things also drive to the heart of why this work matters in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. Because all these barriers have very real implications, not just for our practice, but also for students. And you talked a little bit about how you as an undergraduate student would have benefited from knowing this, right? Would have benefited from a little bit of a change in language to make it more digestible to you and understand what this even meant or even raise your awareness of it. So how do you think that your experience as an undergraduate student would have changed if you were made aware or even understood a little bit more about the program learning outcomes or just outcomes themselves?
So to answer this question, I want to tell a little story. Okay. So when I started my work with the Office of Assessment as a first-time graduate student, I printed out my learning outcomes per recommendation of my advisor, and I put them on my desk. So at first, like I said, I didn't really know the purpose of the outcomes or anything like that. But further down the line, when I really understood and really started to understand the importance of this as a tool for student success, I was just kind of looking at my learning outcomes one day, not procrastinating my work, but definitely procrastinating my work. And I said, kind of was going down the list and saying, oh yeah, number one, I have already accomplished that one. Great. Like, I'm already towards that goal. Number two, I haven't got there yet, but I know I have a class next semester that kind of may accomplish that goal. So that one's great too. And everything was great. I was going down the list until I got to learning outcome number four. The learning outcome said, by the time I graduate, I should be able to evaluate the psychological, physiological, or socio-economical strategies and forces in the sport experience and determine their impact on the athlete and performance. So when I read this one, I kind of just stopped in my tracks because I'm in the individualized concentration of the physical education program. And my focus is really more on experiential learning and youth development, and it really has nothing to do with sport. So at this point, I was like, okay, if there's a learning outcome that says I should have known by the time I graduate this element that has something to do with sport, but I know I'm not going to learn that and I know I'm not going to get there, then there's some sort of disconnect for my learning. Either I'm not in the right program, I'm doing something wrong, or maybe these outcomes need to be adjusted to fit all students, including those in the individualized concentration. So having that tool and being able to say, okay, there's a disconnect in my learning from what I'm expected to be able to know or do by the time I graduate to what I'm actually learning and what I'm actually doing was so powerful for me. And so it was just such a great way to realize the importance of these program learning outcomes. And it gave me a tool to be able to go back to my department and say, hey, listen, I'm told I'm supposed to know this. I'm not going to. Where can we bridge the gap? Because this is all about my learning. So I think in the end, it really matters in assessment because they give students ways to be accountable for what they're learning and empower students to use their voice to go back to whomever and figure out kind of where the disconnect is. Another element to this is I did not know what recreation meant when I first signed up for the program. There was a program description within it, but I didn't really know like what I was going to be learning. I didn't know it had anything to do with like programming events until I got to those classes. So yeah. I think it can also enable students to be able to understand the program better and to be able to choose more wisely their program, what they want to learn, what they're going to put their money into.
Yeah, I can definitely see those benefits, right? I think just in thinking of my own experience as well, I think I would have benefited greatly from those, or not those elements, but that knowledge in itself, right? I also was not aware of many of these things up until I started getting involved in with assessment work. That wait, they actually had learning outcomes. These were actual things that were expressed clearly that I could then use to track my own knowledge and progress and really self-evaluate how well I'm doing. Exactly. And meeting expectations. But I think you hinted to something that we at Nalua always try to stress as much as possible, right? That when we speak about assessment, it's really a conversation about learning, mm-hmm. right? And you said that we need to revisit this because it is my learning at the end of the day that is being impacted by this, right? It has very real implications for my trajectory, not just in college, but also afterwards, right? For my end goals. It's my learning that's at the center of this. So I think if more conversations were framed with that right at the center, it would change the understanding of assessment itself and how people are receptive, right? Because it's hard to not be receptive of a conversation on learning, but it's easy to dismiss a conversation on assessment, right? Exactly. Especially if your experience has been a negative one up until this point with assessment.
Or even just non-existent up to that point for assessment.
Exactly.
I know I didn't even know assessment was a thing, so it wasn't necessarily a negative experience, but mm-hmm. it was just a non-existent one.
Yeah, and you can argue which one's worse, right?
Right.
Not having an experience at all, or having such a bad experience that now whenever somebody mentions it or it's brought up, it's automatically met with feelings of disdain, or you just don't want to get involved and start avoiding it. So switching the conversation up a little bit, it's my understanding that the NLOA Transparency Framework helped inform some of your work, right, with the BSU Transparency Project. For those who may not be familiar with the NLOA Transparency Framework, it's a framework that aims to address one question, which is how might assessment of student learning efforts be made more visible, right? So it directly correlates or directly aligns with the project. And in today's time, visibility often comes through online formats, right? So institutional websites. And the framework is truly a guide that suggests priorities and possibilities with an eye towards communicating meaningful information about student learning that will be useful to various audiences. So it aligns with some of the key things that you mentioned in terms of language, right? How is it understandable? And on top of just making sure that folks even know how to access it and make sure that they know how to interpret those words, make it jargon free so they can actually internalize it to their own work. But aside from this, I'm really curious to learn how you use the NLOA Transparency Framework, how you first made the connection that this could be something that could help inform this work.
So Dr. Ruth Slotnick, who is the Director of Assessment at Bridgewater State University, and was also my graduate assistant mentor, she used the NLOA Transparency Framework to help build a culture of evidence for student success. And she wanted the graduate student in the Office of Assessment to lead the project. So that's where I am today. And as an office, we are working to transform and expand the framework into actionable strategies for the campus to use, but most especially college deans and faculty. So we're also trying to connect with the student affairs personnel as well. So essentially, the transparency has founded and inspired this work to the core. I remember looking at the beginning when I was sort of in training mode at the NLOA Transparency Framework, and that was part of one of my assignments, is to get familiar with it because it was going to be have to do a lot with my learning of assessment and how I was going to develop the project further.
Yeah, we're always very happy to hear some of the impacts that this framework is having and how folks are using the ideas from it to advance the work, right? So thank you. Thank you for using it. And thank you for using it as a platform to launch this great initiative. So you hinted a little bit about how you got involved with this work, right? How when you first came in, and that's when you really got your eyes open to program learning outcomes and those sorts of things. But aside from what you may have shared before, is there something else that might have drawn you to assessment, or might have inspired you to get really involved in this work?
As I mentioned before, coming into the position, I didn't know what assessment was or how it connects to student success, but I was talking to some of my undergraduate mentors, some of my professors, and I was talking to them about how I wanted to be a professor eventually, perhaps as a career. So they sort of pointed me to the direction of assessment because they saw it is a great place for me to start to learn and start to grow. And they thought it was really important to the college campus, university climate in general. So they thought it would be a great kind of tool to have under my belt to kind of know what assessment is, what it's all about. So then therefore, when I become a professor, I can use that and be involved in assessment. And I'm so thankful that I did this because I've learned so much just from learning what assessment is about the campus in general. And I can now be a lifelong advocate for continued improvement towards student success, knowing about assessment.
That's great. We definitely need more of those. So what have you found to be the most challenging, both in this discovery and kind of really getting familiar with assessment is and then what it means to you, and then even the project itself?
So I feel like breaking through a person's initial resistance can definitely be one of the most challenging parts. Once I can show or explain like how important it is for the student through the student perspective, it certainly gets a little easier, but I would think the hardest part is kind of breaking into that initial resistance. And for the project in general, the format I've kind of presented this project so far has been formal presentations to various audiences. Mm-hmm. And those audiences who are more familiar with assessment are much more like willing to embrace me and hear what I have to say and then want to make changes but those audiences who don't really know anything about assessment, or maybe it's a little more broad, it's kind of harder to get through to them initially. But as I said, the student voice can be powerful, and I think people do listen to a student saying, hey, I want this, why don't I have it? So that's been the most challenging so far. On the flip side of that, I think the most rewarding part for me so far, because I've been able to work so closely with some of the college deans on my campus, it's kind of the feedback they've gave me from this project. So I've talked to one dean in specific who said including my voice and hearing my perspective has actually changed his perspective on transparency and kind of lighted a fire in him to make these changes that are needed for student success. So like hearing that feedback and just having him say like, hey, listen, you changed my perspective. That has been so rewarding and so powerful.
Yeah.
Because I've put so much as a student kind of into this work saying, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. I'm a student. I have this opinion. Like, please listen to me. And hearing that feedback from a dean who I would consider is a pretty influential figure on our campus, for them to change their kind of perspective, even just slightly, was really, really rewarding for me. So another thing is just the sheer amount of assessment knowledge that I've learned. So when I first started my work, I wasn't planning on working on assessment at all. I didn't know anything about it, but now I know how fundamental it is for the improvement of student learning. And that is something I'll take with me wherever I choose to have my future career.
Yeah, I think hearing that feedback, right? What more motivator, what better drive do you hope to get, and say someone that expressed to you that your words, your work, your voice has an impact, right? To keep it up, make sure you keep going in the same direction. So you mentioned in your response that student voice is powerful, right? And that Niloa, part of our equity and assessment conversation, we stress that a big piece of it is the student involvement in assessment, right? You can't have an equitable assessment process if you don't have students at the center. More so if you don't bring students to the actual work of assessment as active participants. So do you feel that this is a direction that assessment needs to go for its own longevity and to really achieve its purpose of informing and improving teaching and learning?
I do firmly believe that involving students is the direction assessment needs to go. So as I've said, I think assessment in general, like not just on my campus, but kind of all over the place, really need to include the student voice. The students are their priority, and it almost seems silly not to have their input on certain things. I think including students in making or revising the learning outcomes, promoting transparency, and even including them in assessment councils and meetings, just as regular attendance, is the direction assessment needs to go. I think that could be really powerful.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think the writing's been on the wall, right? And you alluded earlier that it's easy to just say that students don't want to get involved, or they don't have time, or whatever excuse you want to find, right? But like you said, in your experience, this is my learning, right? This is students' learning that's being impacted by this. So how do you think that faculty, staff, or administrators themselves can facilitate students having this more collaborative and involved role in assessment?
Basically, down a level of just having conversations with students about what assessment is and what their program learning outcomes are is certainly a first step to this. Students can't be involved if they don't even have a basic understanding of these things. So I think the role of everyone on campus, whether that be faculty, staff, or administrators, is to repeatedly expose these students to these learning outcomes so then they can be involved more in the process.
Kind of flipping that, not to put the onus on students themselves, because we often find this to be the case if we put the responsibility on students to seek out these things, right? Mm-hmm. But thinking of students themselves, how do you think that students can work to facilitate this increased role?
So once students know enough about their learning outcomes, it kind of is up to them to properly utilize them as a tool for their own success. And that's coming from a student. That's what I think. I think this includes reaching out to their departments or whoever if there is something not aligning, If something's missing for them, advocating for their own learning, and also stuff like if they're being explained and a student's not understanding, they should have the voice and the power to say, hey, look, I'm not understanding. Can you please break this down for me? Because like I said, it is a tool for the student's success. So there is, in my opinion, some responsibility on the student, but to get there, there needs to be a lot of education and a lot of what I keep saying, saturation for the student.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a very important distinction, that the communication piece needs to happen first before students can then act, right? They need to be aware of these things first. And on top of that, opening it up so that students can really be collaborative and question and really negotiate the learning outcomes and the expected skills are supposed to showcase, right? So that way they can be most applicable to them and not just something that faculty or staff or administrators deem that students should have, but to make sure that they actually align with what students are expected to learn. Like how you said that in your major, you were expected to showcase this very specific sports related outcome, right? But your major and the concentration that you had nothing to do with that, right?
Exactly.
So in thinking of where this work leads next, right? Because as you mentioned, there's multiple tiers to this and I don't see this stopping, or I would hope that it does not stop anytime soon. It can actually spread to other campuses. What impacts do you hope to see in the near future?
Great question. Empowering student voice in the classroom to ask clarification or connectivity of the learning outcomes is a direction I hope this work leads to next. Hopefully the model that BSU is building will ultimately get us there for my campus. And just getting more students involved in assessment in general is really what I want to see going forward. Involving the student government or the graduate council of students might be the way to do that, but just keeping the student voice in assessment is certainly the way that I think that will lead to higher transparency. And as I found out, as I said, the student voice does matter.
I completely agree. I think students, it's time for the student role to be moved from just a passive actor in assessment to a more active participant. And is it true that there is a way that our listeners can get involved? There's a survey that folks can take to kind of give their input?
Yeah. For the Transparency Project at BSU, we've been working on a survey that allows the audiences that I presented the work at to give feedback and to say where they think their learning outcomes are, how visible they are on their campus. So there will be a link to that. Hopefully we can get that up. And if you think that your learning outcomes are high or low, we really want to hear about it. So let us know for that.
Yeah, please do participate. Please do give your feedback. And the link will be available once the survey goes live right underneath this podcast. So you can get involved right after listening. But yeah, thank you so much for your great work. Thank you for sharing it with us so that others may learn and be on the lookout for some of the outcomes of this project itself. Is there something that maybe we did not cover that you would like to share a little bit more about?
I don't think so, but there is something I just want to emphasize one last time. So at the end of the day, I am a student and I am saying that I want transparent outcomes. So if there's a tool out there that will help me conceptualize and connect what I'm learning at my university to my future beyond the classroom, I want to know about it. So transparency does matter. Assessment does matter for the student. And that's what I believe. I just wanted to also say thank you, Eric, and thank you, Nailoa, for having this podcast series and for kind of getting the student voice involved in that. I think that's really great.
And thank you so much for your work, and thank you for seeking this out and seeing an opportunity that you were really missing, right? That understanding of it, because a lot of students are, and most of us, I know for me as an undergrad student, I didn't even know I was missing this until I got involved with Nailoa. So exactly. So thank you for taking that initiative.
Yep. If assessment in general is all about student learning, then student needs to be involved and student learning needs to be the focus. So.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Christina. It was great talking to you, and keep up the good work.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Eric.